Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, beautiful people. Thanks for being here today. I am honored that you've chosen to give me a half an hour of your time, and I promise to make as good a use of it as I know how. It's a blessing to be a person of love. It's not only a blessing, it is a internal and external realm and experience. Love is an experience. Love is an art form. Living that kind of art, living that kind of experience is the one fulfilling value of life for any of us on the planet, and I urge you to join me. Join me, would you please, in this adventure, this art, and this experience of love. I want to dive right in today to pick up where I left off last week. If you joined with us last week, here's some of the essence of what I said, and that is that love is an attitude and a singular way of doing life. It's not something you do to get on to other things. When I titled this broadcast, the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. That's what I was getting at. Because love isn't something you do in order to gain entry to do other things. Love is all things. Love is that which we live as a purpose throughout every other purpose that we may find ourselves in. No matter how great or small that purpose may be, love is that which carries us through every experience and every relationship. M. Scott Peck, the writer of the book The Road Less Traveled, said this: love is a permanently enlarging experience. It permanently will grow you. It will permanently stretch you. I guess it's safe to say love will permanently frustrate you. You'll find yourself frustrated, agonizing in the path of love. I've never been so cocky as to think that I've learned how to love and now I'm going to just go on about my life. No, I'm learning love every day of my life. I'm learning to be a man of love as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a religious leader, as a man of faith. Everything that's a part of me, I'm learning love in the middle of it. There's no arrogance in me about it because I've failed at love too many times to be an arrogant soul. Let me say that again so you understand. I've failed far too many times in my pursuit of love to have any presupposition that I know what I'm doing. I'll tell you this. I'm a pilgrim in love. That's what I am aimed at. I will not give up on love, and I will not let love be a sideline or a hobby or an avocation. Love is my vocation. It is that to which I have thrown myself at. And having done that, I'm practicing love like a doctor practices medicine, like an athlete practices their skill. As an artist would practice brush strokes and know how to use that charcoal pencil just right to get the right shading. That's how we should see ourselves as people of love. It's a permanently enlarging experience, is what M. Scott Peck said, that if you're going to love, then be prepared to grow. You remember when you were a kid, don't you? When you were aching in your joints and your knees and your elbows and your mom or your dad or somebody said, those are growing pains. Love will always have growing pains. It's part of the nature of love. So as an attitude, as a singular way of doing life, as a permanently enlarging experience, we must together learn to live a life of love so that we are gaining any credibility with folks around us. I think we have had some mistaken notions that if I love in one day or a week or even a month or a year, if I've loved, well, now I've got your attention. That may be a nice beginning. That may be the floor upon which you stand, but it may not be the bridge upon which you walk to cross whatever barriers. We've got to understand that when love is love is love is love, then the credibility we gain must be sustained going forward, so that if there's any need for speaking into a person's life by their invitation, by the way, by the invitation of those who find us in their life as significant, if we're to gain any invitation to bring a mentorship or ideas or a recommendation, then love will be the price of admission, as it were. Never seeing it, though, as a ticket that we just punch once in a while. It's that ongoing walk of love that grants any of us an opportunity to relate, and to relate even in the difficult moments of life when people are struggling with what's happening in their life. I've done so many funerals through my experience. I have to say, though, that as a funeral officiant, I found myself often really entering the pathos of those who were there suffering. And I'll just admit, I there's a part of me that loved doing that, because it carried me into my own need to grieve well, to have a lament that wasn't just shallow or paper thin. And watching others grieve through the years, through being the officiant of funerals, here's something that has occurred to me, oh my goodness, more times than I can even dare to estimate. And that is that people often feel like, in terms of the general crowd around someone who's lost a loved one, people often feel like they've got to say something pithy or smart or wise in the moment. People often feel compelled to give them their best idea of what that means. You know, one of the worst, and I want you to hear this right, one of the worst things I've ever heard anybody say at a funeral is, oh, God needed another angel in heaven, so your beloved child, your beloved spouse, your beloved parent was just taken because God needed them in heaven. That is one of the worst things you could ever say. That is not a loving comment. It may be something you feel compelled to say, but you did not consider on the receiving end of that the person who is grieving freshly is probably saying, wait a minute, you mean God is so selfish he would take somebody that I need right here, and the love that I carry for that person wasn't important enough for me to be able to continue to express that love here, that God is so selfish that he would take them? See, there, when you're on the surface of somebody grieving, beware of anything less than a full, artful way of loving. What is the way of love when it comes to this? The way of love would look somebody in the eye and say, this hurts, and I'll hurt with you as long as it takes to get you through this valley of the shadow of death. That's at least a good framework for saying something. Say, acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge that you don't have some wisdom that's going to solve it all in the moment. Acknowledge that their tears are valid. Acknowledge that their pain is real. And acknowledge that love will be there. Just acknowledge that you'll be a lover, and you'll love them enough to be silent if necessary, and to speak only when invited. That's the value of love. Love is a presence. Love isn't just something you say. Love is an environment. Love is a singular attitude and way of doing life. It's an ever-enlarging experience. That's the basis of what I'm saying today. So when you are in the presence of somebody that is grieving, remember, love's the most important thing you'll do, and that may be expressed through words, but more than likely it'll be expressed through your presence and through the act of your own arrival in that person's sphere of life, especially after the funeral, especially after the formality of what has to go through the loss of a loved one. Well, I'm going to go through, last week we talked about this, and I'm going to carry this forward to some other ideas, but I want to review as I do that. I'll give you a bit of a review and then carry it forward to other ideas. Last week I covered about 7 different layers of this whole idea that love is an attitude and a singular way of doing life. And what I said last week, and I'll repeat now, is love isn't where you start so you can go on to do other things. Love is all things. That's the first part of the review. Love isn't something you do so I can go on to other things. No, love is all the things that we do. It's all the purpose that we live for. I don't punch the ticket of love and say, now let me tell you what I need to tell you to correct you. No. Love will bring correction simply because love is an example. Love is a mentorship even without words. So love is everything. Second thing that I said last week, and then I'll repeat for review and carry it forward here, is that we have to be people who are determined to seek values that are higher than our own self-interest. Values that are higher than our own self-interest. There's a lot of ways to illustrate this, but boy, nothing's more fresh than lately the run on toilet paper during the lockdown. Our own self-interest somehow or another kicked in, and I wish some kind of researcher would go through what it is that happened to us, but somehow or another it kicked in that we all need a warehouse full of toilet paper right now. Well, by and large, not entirely, but by and large, that was a demonstration of self-interest. That was a demonstration of self-interest, and I won't belabor the illustration. I guess I'll leave it with you to think about that in terms of how vulgar and vile that really is in terms of the use of toilet paper. That's all I'll say. Move on. A higher value than our own self-interest would look like making sure that my neighbor has plenty of toilet paper, making sure that older or poorer people have plenty of toilet paper. Seeking an interest or a value that's higher than my own self-interest would be to see to it that everyone on my block, everyone within the sphere of my influence has had the opportunity to give me a shopping list so I can check on them and find out whether or not they even want toilet paper. So that's maybe a gross or simplistic illustration, but I hope you get my point. Love is seeking a higher value than your own self-interest. And out of that, then, boy, so many things can happen. There's so many little things. You know, being a hero isn't about some spectacular motion of life where you run into a burning house or you rescue somebody from a crash, a car crash. Being heroic more often than not is the simple acts, the small things every day. That heroic thing of stopping your car when Mama Goose is leading those little fuzzies across the highway. Stop your car and help them across so that nobody else runs them over. That's heroic. And maybe nobody will know your name, but you'll know, and that Mama Goose will know you were a hero for that moment. A hero doesn't look like a Superman or a Wonder Woman. A hero looks like you. A hero looks like you who's willing to step forward at any given moment with the highest value of all life, and that is love. The third part of the review from last week, and again, this is some of what I said, but now I'm going to carry it forward. You know, we are often so rapid about giving opinions. You know, in our day and time, it seems like everything that we define in America has to be defined through the lens of politics. We have just finally decided that it's either right or left, red or blue, and there's nothing else that can define how life works. And I find that to be so terribly unloving. It is so terribly shallow. And, you know, whatever side you're on, you can prove how dead right you are. I've often said, if you're dead right, well, okay, you're just dead. And a lot of times, if we want to prove somebody dead wrong, well, okay, then we've just proved them to be dead. And either way, the result is death. I would encourage all of you who are listening right now, join me in the pursuit of a transcendent value that isn't right or wrong, that isn't me against you, us versus them, that is, it's us as humans, all humans, that all humans are in this together. During the pandemic, we've heard a slogan that I agree with. We're all in this together. But I would add that while we're all in this together, some of us are in it in a little other way than just the way others may be. We have to see that some have greater needs than you know. Hey, if I live in a palatial home with 5 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms, well, you know, I'm not in it with the guy who's living on the street. The guy on the street's living a whole different reality. So my reality should reflect not only the, as I said to begin with, my own self-interest. How about that guy on the street? How about that lady who you see struggling with 3 or 4 children by herself? She's in it with you. So let's demonstrate something that doesn't look like trying to prove how wrong they are. Next time you see a poor person, next time you see somebody with a sign that says, "We'll work for food," or I need a place to sleep, why don't you remember what Mother Teresa said once? I'll tell you, this will haunt you. If you don't want to hear it, you better plug your ears up right now. Earmuffs, you ready? Mother Teresa once said, "Every poor person is Jesus in disguise." Once you see them and you think what she said, you'll never be able to see that poor person the same. Oh, I know. A lot of folks, and I've thought it myself, they're cheating. That person, he's probably got a BMW parked around the corner. Oh, that person sleeps in a fine little apartment. They're not really poor. They're just using people for their own ends. Well, maybe so. But you know what? Even in that, maybe that's Jesus in disguise, checking out the level of love in our hearts to see whether or not we'll even pause for half a minute to consider the need that may be screaming right there. So whether you're dead right or dead wrong, you're still dead, and maybe you're viewing somebody else as dead. So remember that. Love is everything, number one. Number two, we've all got to learn to seek a higher value than our own self-interest. Number three, being dead right or dead wrong or seeing everything through the lens of politics is destroying us from within. It's time to love, folks. It's time to rise up and create a love revolution. Number four, only love will get us somewhere. Only love will move us from point A to point B. Only love accomplishes anything of value in this life. That which we do, that which we have to put our hand to at work, that which we do as a mother that's caring for a child or a dad who's cooking a meal, that which we do will only be done of value if it's done in love. Do all that you do in and for and through love. It's an attitude. Remember, love is an attitude. It's a singular way of doing life. Sure, you can all, and I've done it, and I just refuse to live there, but we can all just go about like, oh, here we go again. I got to get up and cook a meal for the kids. Oh, here we go again. I've got to clean up after the dog. Oh, here we go again. Just, yeah, sure, it's me again here over here just slaving away. Sure, we can live like that. And you know what the result of that kind of living is, right? It's misery, ultimate misery, and you're creating your own misery. Or you can get up and say, I'm doing this because I love my children. I'm doing this because I love that little dog. I'm doing this because life is worth living in and through and by love. So only love gets us anywhere and accomplishes anything. The fifth thing is that we talked about last week, and then I'm unpacking a little more today, is that which is bigger and better is love. Bigger and better isn't always the bigger, better car, bigger, better house, bigger, better job. Bigger and better isn't always the promotion that makes you look like an important person. Maybe it isn't, but I'll tell you, maybe it isn't. Bigger and better may just be that whatever it is that you find yourself in the middle of, you're a loving soul, you're a loving heart, you're a loving mind, you're living your life out of the singular attitude and way of doing life, and that is love, so that you're a permanently enlarging soul. I don't doubt but what somebody out there listening may have a promotion coming up that is going to put you in a place of greater responsibility. Awesome. I think that's amazing. But remember, every promotion isn't a promotion to love more. Some promotions are just financial. Some promotions are just ego promoting. But every promotion could be a place of love, a platform of love. Someone once called the presidency a bully pulpit. every one of us have a bully pulpit. May not be as big as the White House, but it is as big as your house. It's as big as whatever life you live. May your promotion be a promotion not to be more important, but to be more valued as a lover in life. So go for something bigger and better in life, and not just a promotion, but go for love. And number six, love is not something we do. Love is what we are. That may be a subtle way of saying it, but I'm reviewing, but I'm also adding a few things here today. It's what you are. I hope that you understand in everything I'm saying here that what we do has to grow out of the soil and the nurture of love. Otherwise, that what we do is just robotic and machine-like, and nobody wants to live there. I mean, we may settle for that, sure, but we all know how ugly and grinding that can become. Don't just let your doing be that kind of machine thing. Let love be who you are, so that when you are doing what you do, love is the passion and the flame and the fire. Love isn't for timid souls, folks. If you're timid, you're going to have to find that love is a challenge to that timidity. I speak from experience there. More people listening, or folks that listen that know me may disagree, but listen, I know me better than anybody, and that is I'm really an introvert. I can easily just be a guy that would like to just get away from the crowds because the crowds make me nervous. But I've had to learn that timidity is not my friend. Timidity will isolate me when I need to be out there experiencing love, not only for the other person's sake, but for my own enlarging sake. All right, last but not least, and this does lead me to how I close every broadcast, and that is this. Everybody needs to hear on a systemic, consistent, an explained and powerful needs to hear, I love you daily. It could become repetitive. I know that. It could become just a throw it out there. I love you. But I think if we focus, if we get intentional, and if we do what this whole thing is I'm talking about here, if we'll do what it is that we're aiming to do, then we can take it from just the systemic and machine-like words, and we can make it important, saying, I love you. I'm not proposing, I said last week, I want to say again, I'm no love guru, but I am a love pilgrim. I'm not suggesting that every time you say I love you, it's just going to create stars in the sky and the sun rising. But I am suggesting that every time we say I love you, we've paused, we've taken that pregnant pause, drew a deep breath. Here, do it with me. Hold it. And exhale those three words. I love you. When we slow it down like that, then we engage our genuine spiritual value. We engage our soul. We engage our real will and purpose. I love you. Those are amazing words, aren't they? Especially if there's any level of blood, sweat, and tears involved in saying it. I love you. I've had the rich experience of seeing a few folks pass from this life to the next. And I've always said nobody should die alone. And I've always believed that anybody that's passing from this world to the next should possibly, if any way possible, should hear in this last words here, those three words, I love you. Looking at the person sitting near you or that you'll see on a regular basis and recognizing that, what if this is the last time I see them? What if I never see them again for whatever reason? I'm not talking about just morbidly. I mean for geography or job changes or life change. What if this is the last time I'll have that chance to say, I love you? Well, then put yourself to that task right now. Don't wait. Say it. I love you. And guess what happens? Value increases for both of you. As soon as that happens, as soon as you say it, your value just rose, their value went up. That needle, the needle of value, that little barometer of value just went up a little bit. And isn't that why we're alive? All right, well, I'm coming to the close, and I'm happy you joined with me today. Those seven things of reviewing the last couple of weeks are so vital. I would urge you, contact me by email, randydeanministries@gmail.com, randydeanministries@gmail, and I'll send you a copy of those, just the written copy of those seven things, because I think it's important for all of you to have it. All right, I'm Randy Dean. I'm a no BS bishop. I'm not trying to BS you at all. I'm just trying to convince you that love is the highest value for living. It's the one beautiful thing we can all do. So let's just go out there and let's do something beautiful. Can we, please? Shall we? Let's do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today.
Us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.